The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtin Subaru Studios. Welcome to The Big Show. What a busy afternoon we have for you. Lots of guests, lots of exclusives, lots of great tips from you, the greatest listening audience in America. We got no time to waste. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
We told you on Friday about a bizarre story in our state. Let's talk about the sleepy little burg of Port Townsend, Washington. I've been to Port Townsend many times, mostly when I was a kid. We'd go up to the peninsula, take some driving trips, the only vacations we could afford, you know. And we'd go up to Port Townsend. Port Townsend was a cool little town. Port Townsend isn't so cool anymore. Port Townsend has been taken over by a lot of woke Seattle escapees who didn't want the crime of Seattle, but they wanted to export the craziness to Port Townsend. And they have done so. And they've elected a woke little mayor who issues bizarre proclamations but doesn't have the courage to defend them. We invited the mayor of Port Townsend to come on the show with us this afternoon to talk about the proclamation that he has issued because it is so nonsensical. But David Faber, the mayor of Port Townsend, he declined our invitation. And I don't blame him because we would expose, I'm going to expose what a fraud this guy's proclamation is anyway, but I would have loved to have done it to him personally. So the story that's made international news out of Port Townsend is that of an 80-year-old woman named Julie Jamon. We had an exclusive interview with her last Friday on this show. Julie was at the Port Townsend YMCA where she's been a patron for 35 years. She goes to swim. She uses the pool many times a week. This one, however, was different because Julie Jamon, when she got out of the pool, she was in the shower in the women's locker room, and she heard a man's voice. She looked out, and she saw a biological male with a penis in a women's swimsuit. And there were little girls, Julie says, undressing, taking off their swimsuits so that they could go to the bathroom so they could use the shower. And according to 80-year-old Julie Jamon, this guy with a penis was looking at the little girls undressing. Tell me what happened after that.
Our pool is a very old pool, and it just has two shower room dressing rooms, one for men and one for women, and that's the way we've always used it. In this instance, I went into the dressing shower area, big gang showers with little shower curtains around them that billow and blow, mm-hmm. and the dressing area. And while showering, I heard a man's voice. And I looked over and saw a man in a woman's bathing suit watching maybe four or five little girls pulling down their suits in order to use the toilets. And jeez. I told that man to get out right now.
Yeah. Yes.
There was another staff member in there I didn't realize, and she was in a red shirt. I could see her. And I asked her to please get him out of there. And she immediately said to me, "You're being discriminatory, and you're banned from the pool forever, and I'm calling the cops."
Okay, Julie, when you heard those words, Did you think she was serious, first of all?
I was taken aback. She didn't ask me what the problem was, if I was okay, nothing about me, nothing. She just, it's as if she was just waiting to pounce on me.
So 80-year-old Julie Jamon, a YMCA patron for 35 years, says a person with a penis watching little girls taking off their swimsuits, and she yells, "Get out of here." And she's the one who's been permanently banned from the YMCA swimming pool. So that's the story that we told you, and turns out we told the nation about it last Friday. So now the mayor of Port Townsend, to prove how woke he has issued a proclamation with a lot of whereases. He just sent this out yesterday. David Faber is the mayor of Port Townsend. Whereas the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law study found that transgender people 60 and over are four times more likely to be crime victims than cisgender people. And then he goes on and on. Whereas PBS NewsHour reported that 2021 was the deadliest year for transgendered people with a record number of transgender murder victims. And it goes on and on. And he says, now, therefore, I, David Faber, mayor of the city of Port Townsend, do hereby proclaim that the city of Port Townsend values our transgender residents and visitors and urges all residents and visitors to be respectful, welcoming, and kind to everyone, regardless of gender identity. I further proclaim that discrimination and prejudice in any form, especially against transgender people, are unwelcome and have no place in the city of Port Townsend. So the government is telling 80-year-old Julie Jamon, when she sees a person with a penis watching little girls undressing in the women's locker room, the government is telling 80-year-old Julie Jamon that she is not allowed to feel the way that she feels, which is about as un-American as you can possibly get, to tell people they're not allowed to feel a certain way about something that is, to most people, just objectively wrong. Now let's go into the stats that Mayor David Faber put in his whereases. He said record number of transgender murder victims in 2021. Well, what he doesn't say is that, yeah, there were over 300 transgender people murdered worldwide in 2021. Most of them are in South America. Brazil is the number one place where transgender people are murdered. In 2020, the last year we have complete stats for the United States, 44 transgender people were murdered. And I know everybody says, well, one is too many. But let's break down those numbers because, you know, I like diving into numbers where everybody else in the media refuses to do so. They just take everything at face value and they say, well, that's horrible. Record number of transgender people murdered. It is horrible that anybody gets murdered. But let's look at the numbers. I did a in-depth look. I was trying to think of a phrase besides deep dive because I hate the phrase deep dive. So I went with in-depth. I did an in-depth look at the numbers last night. So he says the trans murder rate is the highest ever. Well, according to the Human Rights Campaign, which is a pro-transgender, pro-gay rights organization, so these numbers are legit, 44 trans people were murdered in the United States in 2020. Because what does that number mean? Well, here's where I went in depth with my deep dive. According to the World Population Review, 1.4 million people in the United States of America identify as transgender. 44 of them were murdered in 2020. So that works out to about 1 out of 30,000 trans people were murdered in the United States of America. Now, what's the murder rate for the general population in America? Well, this is where things get real interesting. So 1 out of 30,000 trans people were murdered in 2020. Why, in 2020, according to the World Population Review, 1 out of 20,000 other Americans were murdered. So in other words, the trans murder rate is 50% lower than the cisgender. I'll use the woke word for non-trans, cisgender. The trans murder rate is 50% lower than the cisgender murder rate. So in other words, you are less likely to be murdered if you're trans than if you're not trans. And according to the mayor of Port Townsend, the trans murder rate is one reason that we have to allow people with a penis to watch little girls undress in the locker room at the YMCA. Now, the transgender person involved in this, who reportedly works at the YMCA, has started a GoFundMe because the person with a penis watching the little girls is the victim in this story. In this bizarre little world where everything is upside down, that's called woke world, that person is the victim. And that person has started a GoFundMe, goes by the name Clementine now. Came out of the Andy Griffith show, apparently. But they said they're starting a GoFundMe to have vocal cord surgery to raise this person's voice from lower to higher, and also to have bottom surgery to someday lop off the, you know, the penis. So that person's collecting money through a GoFundMe. 80-year-old Julie Jamon, who says that it just was wrong to watch somebody with a penis watching little girls undress in the women's locker room, she gets permanently banned from the pool. The mayor of Port Townsend sends out a whereas that, and a therefore, with a stat that makes absolutely no sense for trying to make the case. Now, here's the question I have, and I'm not suggesting, I truly am not suggesting that I think transgender people are more likely to be pedophiles. I am not, because I've never seen any statistics to support that. But here's a question that I would ask. If, not, I'm not talking about this Clementine person, but if anybody was a pedophile who wanted to see naked little girls, what would stop them from going to Port Townsend and just saying, oh yeah, I'm a woman, and going into the locker room at the Port Townsend YMCA and watching little girls undress? What would stop them from that, given the whereas that the mayor has sent out? Because I can't find anything that would suggest that they would be prevented from doing that. And to me, again, unless we're in some bizarre world, that's just objectively wrong. That this is what is allowed now to be woke. So the mayor sends out some bogus stats, talks about the violence. I could find absolutely no evidence of violence against transgender people in Port Townsend, Washington. I did a search. I couldn't find one story that would back that up. So the mayor of Port Townsend's talking about something that happens in Brazil and a murder stat that actually disproves his case. And he says, that's why we have to allow biological men to watch little girls undress in the locker room at the YMCA. I openly extend an invitation to Port Townsend Mayor David Faber, who seemingly does not have the courage to back up his proclamation by having a conversation with me about it. And I would like to find out what is stopping, not the person involved in this story, but what's stopping pedophiles, not transgender people, but what's stopping pedophiles from going to Port Townsend where they can watch little girls undress in a locker room? Because the mayor has just said that he throws his full support behind this policy. He also says that it's state law that they are backing up with all of this. And this is what you get with the lawmakers that have been elected in this state. But the mayor of Port Angeles, you're throwing out phony stats, phony numbers. Your proclamation is a giant steaming load of nonsense. And I would love to talk with you about it. So your open invitation is out there, sir. David Faber, come on and talk with me and find out how the formerly great town of Port Townsend is not becoming a magnet destination for people who want to watch little girls undress. Please explain that to me, sir. You have an open invitation to come on the big show. Up next in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Oh, and then we have the monkeypox epidemic. You cannot turn on local TV news without seeing monkeypox stories. We found out yesterday that they are now going to get more bang for the taxpayer buck as we're buying the monkeypox vaccine. Instead of giving a full dose to people, they're going to give a 1/5 dose. Because they've said, it's so stupid. They've said they've discovered that the 1/5 dose is just as effective if they inject it right under the skin instead of deep into the arm. So wait a second. A 1/5 dose is just as effective, but we were paying for the full dose? So the pharmaceutical companies were trying to get 5 times the revenues because they could have easily sent out the 1/5 dose as their full dose. But no, this was a way to soak the taxpayers for 5 times what we were giving them. It's just, it is the most, between the COVID boosters and the monkeypox vaccine, this is one of the great scams that's ever been perpetrated on America.
Yeah, that does concern me.
I just wanted to be precautionary. I do hang around a lot of people, and I just didn't want to put myself at a risk if I could just get a vaccine for it.
Okay. Sorry to be laughing. So you got a bunch of people who are nervous that they're going to get monkeypox, including the woman you just heard. They're trying to get the vaccine, but there's a shortage of vaccine, even though they can stretch it out to 5 times the original dosage. Now, most people don't need to be worried. This guy says he was turned away because when asked if he was sexually active, he said no.
Based off of why I didn't qualify, is you have to be sexually active. And if you're not, then you just need to check in a week or two.
So people who are not having sex are so nervous about monkeypox that they're trying to get vaccinated. Have we all gone insane? Have we truly gone that insane? Or are we just that desire? Are we hooked on vaccines? Hey, I got my COVID vaccine. I got my booster. I got a second booster. And I need another fix. I need another. Can you boost me again? Now I'm not eligible for another booster. Give me that monkeypox vaccine. I need a fix, man. Come on, man. I'm burning up. I think people have. I think the monkeypox has become a monkey on the back of people who are just addicted to getting vaccinated. So I'm going to have a lot more on this as we progress through the afternoon. But here are the latest guidelines. You're at risk from monkeypox, not from trying on clothes. They tried to float that one. If you're gay, bisexual, transgender, you have sex with men, and you've had more than 10 sex partners in the prior 3 months. What? 10 sex partners in 3 months? That's like more than 3 lifetimes for me, crying out loud. All right, I got to get out of here. I'll have more on this throughout the afternoon. That is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, man. Coming up next, I'm going to talk to a father who is moving his family out of this region because of the craziness of politics. The stories like I just have been telling you. He's getting out for real. And we'll hear his story next here on the Dory Monson Show. right. Hey, we're going to hook up a little later with the guy moving his family out of Seattle. I got a lot of other stuff that I got to get to here. Mariners had a thrilling game last night. They won in 13 innings, 1-0, 38,000 people going crazy. It was fun. I was listening to it on the radio. I don't get to watch games because, you know, Dish Network and MLB.com blacks out all the Mariner games. But it was thrilling, and the Mariners got a nice win. Problem was, it started on a lousy note. They actually invited Dr. Anthony Fauci to throw out the first pitch at the Mariners game last night. He was warmly received by the 38,000. That was a rousing way to start off the game. Booing Anthony Fauci. Nice job, Mariners fans. I was actually very impressed by that. But then earlier in the day, he went to Fred Hutch, and he spoke to, as they said, about 100 scientists. And it was the most ridiculous sight. They were in some auditorium. And Fred Hutch is a great cancer researcher. It's named after Fred Hutchinson, a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer who died of cancer in his mid-40s. Fred Hutch is a great organization. It's a great Seattle, you know, pillar of our community. But, oh my goodness, they show the 100 scientists who are in listening to Dr. Fauci. They're all wearing masks. It looked ridiculous. The moderator and 80-something Anthony Fauci, they're sitting on the stage. They don't have masks on. But the 100 people in the crowd, scientists, science, they're all wearing masks as they sit and listen to Anthony Fauci. And I will tell you, it was ridiculous, some of the stuff that they talked about. For example, they discussed the Fauci effect.
It's called the Fauci effect, which is sort of like, you know, as trust me, I don't get excited about that. I mean, it's nice, but I mean, it's people go to medical school now. People are interested in science. Not because of me, because most people don't know me, who I am. My friends know me, my wife knows me, but people don't know me. It's what I symbolize. And what I symbolize...
No. You symbolize somebody who stated things as fact on masking and on injections that were proven to be 100% false. You said that you knew what you were talking about when you stated so-called facts. And then months later, you do a 180-degree flip on those issues. And that's what people judge Anthony Fauci on. The certainty with which he controlled people's lives, only for us to find out down the road that that certainty was all fabricated. It was all made up. So stop this nonsense that we're judging some caricature of Anthony Fauci. We're judging the impact that you had on American lives.
And my friends know me, my wife knows me, but people don't know me. It's what I symbolize. And what I symbolize in an era of the normalization of untruths and lies and all the things you're seeing going on in society from January 6th to everything else that goes on, people, the craving for consistency, for integrity, for truth, and for people caring about people.
And that's what you gave us? Consistency of truth? Because you flipped on everything. And it looks like they're laying the groundwork. I've told you about this. They're laying the groundwork to bring back an indoor mask mandate here in King County. I wouldn't be surprised at all, leading up to the elections, if they try to make the people as fearful as possible.
When you tell people they need to mask in an indoor congregate setting when you're in a zone that has a high dynamic of infection, and that is looked upon by a lot of people, not everybody, as an encroachment on your freedom. We've never had that before. It's almost inexplicable.
Okay, we don't like encroachments on our freedom. I think a lot of people, a lot of sheep, have just become accustomed to it. And there are a lot of sheep who want to just follow what the shepherd tells us. If that shepherd is Jay Inslee or Anthony Fauci or Dow Constein or Joe Biden. Then how about this one? He apparently thinks the origin of COVID, which by all reasonable analysis certainly could have come from that Chinese lab, and gain-of-function research, which, as Rand Paul has exposed so brilliantly, Anthony Fauci funded, that may have led to this mutation that caused COVID. But now Anthony Fauci thinks all of that, the origin of the virus, gain-of-function research, apparently he thinks all of that is just hilarious after it's killed millions of people.
We're at the epicenter of the initial outbreak, WA1, Washington 1. Is considered the ancestral model strain.
I developed the ancestral model strain. I created it.
That's right. You let it loose.
I was in my kitchen.
Can somebody explain to me the 100 masked scientists sitting in the auditorium? Are they laughing at this? They're laughing at a joke about whether Anthony Fauci may have played a role in gain-of-function research and the origin of COVID? Are they really scientists, as was claimed? And if so, do they really find all this humor?
I created it.
That's right. You let it loose.
I was in my kitchen.
You let it loose. Yeah. Okay. Gain-of-function. Here we come. You're making arancha, Italian meatballs, and that's a gain-of-function.
How many people did it kill? Millions? Millions died? What is wrong with these scientists and Anthony Fauci? I'm glad they booed him at the Mariners game last night. What a clown show this is. Okay, quick time out. When we come back, you need some uplifting news? You need something that's going to make you feel just wonderful? I have it for you. Coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. I'll never forget the summer of 74. I should write a song, the Bryan Adams sequel, 5 years later. Summer of 74, Midwest Ballard Little League All-Stars. And we had a pretty good team, I thought. We were 2 games away from going to regionals in California. And then you have that dream of going to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Oh, my gosh. I wanted that so badly. But we lost 2 games before California. But man, I have fond memories of Little League Baseball. It was my escape. There was a lot of hurricanes swirling around back then. But Little League Baseball was my little shelter. But Little League Baseball, there's the regionals between Oklahoma and East Texas. And the East Texas pitcher just drills the Oklahoma kid with a fastball in the most dangerous place, right in the ear hole of his helmet.
Oh, look out.
Okay, the kid who gets drilled, his name's Isaiah. He's down on the ground for several seconds. Then he pops up. He goes to first base. The pitcher's name is Bubs, and Bubs is really upset because he drilled this kid. And Bubs is standing on the mound. He looks like he starts to cry. And the kid who got drilled, who's at first base, He tosses his helmet aside, and he runs to the pitcher's mound, and he hugs the pitcher who drilled him and says, "It's okay. I know you didn't mean to do it. You're doing great." These are the two most adorable kids. Isaiah, he was doing interviews this morning. This one was with CNN. They're also on Fox News. But he made sure he had a cross on the wall behind him where the camera had him framed. And he told CNN he's doing okay since getting drilled.
Yeah, I have a small bruise, but I'm all right.
And here's what he was thinking when he went to hug the pitcher who drilled him.
I mean, yeah, so I was at first base. You know, I was talking to my coach a little bit. As soon as I see him, you know, starting to get a little emotional because he hit me, and obviously he's selling back to me. So, you know, I wanted to go over there and spread God's love and, you know, make sure that he's okay and make sure that he knows that I'm okay and that I'll be okay. So,
how awesome. Nobody knew that when this went so viral. He went there to spread God's love to the kid who hit him. So then the CNN host asked the pitcher this question.
How did you realize that you were being hugged?
So after I hit him and he fell to the ground.
How did you realize you were being hugged? Well, he was hugging me.
And he came over to me. Once he hugged me, I felt really good, and how like he comforted me after I hit him. It just felt really good.
Look, yeah, the kids are great. But the question,
how did you realize that you were being hugged?
What? That's maybe the dumbest question in television history. But the pitcher, let's get back to the feel good part of this. The pitcher said,
It felt like he cared. I mean, I also cared about him. And that just showed that like baseball is sportsmanship. Like there's a lot of sportsmanship in baseball.
And they are getting a ton of attention, these two kids.
I mean, it's really crazy. Like, who would have thought, like, one hug could go this crazy, you know? So that just proves that, like, do nice things and then you'll get rewarded, I guess. But, I mean, it's really crazy. I'm really thankful. Yeah.
And that kid, Isaiah, his team lost from Tulsa, Oklahoma. But he said he's going to be rooting for Bub's team now from Texas as they go on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're the same region as us, and we've been really good friends, our teams. So we're going to be rooting for them all the way.
And in Major League Baseball, somebody gets drilled. They often throw down their bat, charge the mound, fight ensues.
I think it was so different because Isaiah, he has like his heart is different from people. Like he's just a good kid.
These are the two greatest kids ever. Isaiah's heart is different. Isaiah, how do you feel about being told your heart is different?
What do you think hearing that?
Thank you. I mean, that's a good thing. So,
I love these two kids. So Isaiah from Oklahoma, Bubs from East Texas. East Texas is moving on, but it's crazy how viral this has gone. And I do think that it tells us that people just need stories like that. And then when you hear what was behind it, that the kid went to console the pitcher who hit him because he wanted to share God's love. Man, how proud must those parents be seeing how their kid reacted and then how he, the reasons he reacted that way. It's very, very cool. Sweet kids. Okay, we got a lot more to do here. We're going to check out. In fact, I got to talk to Brock Huard. Brock Huard would be a perfect person to talk to. He's got a 12-year-old little leaguer. I'll talk to Brock at 1:30 this afternoon. But after we check the news, the Fastest 15, that is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.